You're at the tailgates of hell. The NFC East podcast for the common man. Here are your hosts, Jason Giaconia and Benjamin David.
Tailgates of hell week number four. This just started. Most teams outside of the Dolphins and Bucks quarterway through the season after today. This week.
This week, it's crazy. And we're getting into panic time, especially for me.
You're already there.
Oh, yeah. But, it is crazy how fast it goes. And then, just the fact that the year's almost over and, we'll be in the holidays before you know it. So time flies.
And it'll be panic time for more people by the time that gets around. So Skins, Eagles, Cowboys 2-1, Giants 0-3. This week, Rams at Cowboys, Eagles at Chargers, Giants at Buccaneers, Skins at Chiefs. And hey, how about that? You get to go watch your Giants in person this week.
I don't even want to go. I don't even want to tell you what I spent on these freaking tickets.
Where are you sitting?
But we're down in the hundreds. I don't sit in the 300s with the plebes, so
not anymore.
Not anymore, yeah, for sure. So, but I'm on the visitor side, which is Tampa does it so that the visitors bake in the sun. So, they'll probably be down 4 scores in the second quarter, and I'll just be roasting in the seats in 100-degree weather. It's still 100 degrees in Tampa, so.
Can you think of a single thing at this point that is more positive about going to the stadium than staying at home and just watching it on TV?
Honestly, every year, I usually go see the Giants every year. In fact, I have seen the Giants every year for probably, at least 10 years in person. And if they didn't play in Tampa this year, I would not go to a game. I've done MetLife Stadium. I've done Around the League. I've done FedEx. I've done the Lambo, just all over the place. And there's just no reason to go to the stadium anymore. Really, I can't think of one. You're spending a ton of money on food and drinks. You're outside in the elements. You don't really know what's going on because you're not like getting the replays and the commentary and all that stuff. So, I don't know. It is, the atmosphere is fun, but for an 0-3 team, it's like,
it takes away.
Yes, for sure. So,
we'll see. It's the tradition thing, too. I'm going to New Orleans this year for a game. And then I think the Skins are in Tampa next year, so maybe I'll come see you for that. But not a whole lot of news that I feel like talking about, so we'll take all the political stuff. And we're not left with a whole hell of a lot after that. NFC East, though, swept player of the week for week 3 of the NFC. Kirk Cousins on offense, DeMarcus Lawrence on defense, and Jake Elliott on special teams.
The NFC East had a big week. The Redskins had a big win. So it makes sense that all three players players of the week were from those teams. And you know what? The NFC East now, outside of the Falcons, who look really good, probably have the best three teams. It didn't look that way, but at 2-1, they all had big wins. So it's competitive. I just think, and I know I'm pessimistic because the Giants are so bad, I just think the football's so bad this year that it's so knotted up that anybody can win anything at this point.
Yeah, and I feel like that's something we're saying more and more, as there's less and less practices, and really the first 3 weeks almost resemble a legit preseason because the football sucks, and then the teams start to separate themselves. But New England looks terrible. Green Bay really hasn't looked very good. Atlanta, yeah, they're 3-0, but they should have lost 2 games. Literally the only team that I think has looked good in all 3 games is Kansas City. Other than that, you can't really point to anybody.
It'll be really interesting because I know the players' contract ends in a few years, and they already said they're gonna boycott and they're ready for it this year. So it'll be interesting. Goodell's going to lose his power. There's no doubt about it that the players will settle for nothing less. So it'll be interesting to see if the players will give up some of the concessions on practice versus, if that means Goodell leaves. But you know what? Why would the players? The players don't care if the game stinks.
You're right. They're still making their money.
Yeah, and I think even the head of the players' union was like, I don't care if the league folds in 20 years. So, I don't know. The NFL's got a lot of problems. I hate to agree with El Presidente, but there's a lot of issues that this league has to deal with, none of which have to do with all the kneeling crap, but the just in terms of the play and the quality of play and how they go about things. So
yeah, certainly doesn't help though.
No.
All right, NFC East this week. God help you if you're listening to the show, because I've had some major technical difficulties over here. Dallas Cowboys, who's the opponent? Los Angeles Rams. Rams lead the NFL with 35.7 points per game through 3 weeks. Todd Gurley, Jared Goff, kind of coming out parties this season. Goff has had 5 touchdowns to 1 interception. He's been playing really good football. Last week, 292 yards, 3 touchdowns against San Francisco. Gurley, it's kind of come out of nowhere, tied for the league lead with 4 rushing touchdowns, 6 total touchdowns. Really, every time he's touched the ball so far this year, he's really been sniffing the end zone.
And Sammy Watkins, back from the dead after how many years of infutility in Buffalo?
Well, that's what happens. You go to Buffalo.
I mean, we were just talking about the Rams are one of the best teams in the NFC. You know, who would have thought? So, hey. They're not so bad on offense. Jared Goff and you know, Gurley and Watkins all together. Goff looked terrible last year, but obviously the first year, you can't necessarily write him off. Defense gave up a lot of points to San Francisco, so clearly that's not, you know, there's a little bit of fool's gold in this team. Looking to rebound, they've got a lot of, you know, talent on that defense. That I think people consider that to be the strength. But teams can run the ball on them, and obviously the Cowboys have a big back in Ezekiel Elliott. But they have been good on third down. So, you know, this is another interesting game where the Rams remind me a little bit of the Cardinals, where they're really not that good, but no one's really that good. So it seems like they can hang.
Right.
They could probably give the Cowboys a pretty good game.
Yeah, and one of the things that they've been great on pass defense and not so good on run defense, as you mentioned. So that's really going to be one of the keys that you got to look for. On the injury front for Los Angeles, Sammy Watkins just cleared concussion protocol, so he's expected to play this week. So that's a look at the Rams. State of the Cowboys. Man, DeMarcus Lawrence is really the reason that team is 2-1 right now. 3 sacks Monday, 6.5 overall for this season. 6.5, that's crazy. That's like a full year for most starting defensive guys. That's through 3 games.
I mean, good for him. He's certainly having an all-pro year and could be continue. We'll see. I mean, I don't think the Rams necessarily have an offensive line that's going to stop that. So, you know, every once in a while, you know, most years you get a sort of a guy who's not really been a superstar become a superstar. And so that's what, or at least play like that for a year. So, I mean, 6.5 sacks is actually pretty wild. I mean, most guys will end the year with that. So we'll see if he can keep that up. Cowboys win against the Cardinals last Monday, 28-17, although the jury's still out on that performance and the team. The Broncos obviously steamrolled them, and the Cardinals were steamrolling them as well. So
they should have been up 20-0 the beginning of that game went. And
yes,
Dallas, you know, gutsy performance. They held them to 7, and that really allowed them to overtake it. But they did not look good early, kind of came on late. But, yeah, it's going to be interesting because L.A. is a young, gutsy team. They could sneak up on him really, really quick.
I mean, this to me is almost a repeat, like I just said, of the Cardinals. You know, they're not that good, but you could see them. You know, if the Cardinals had finished in that first half, they probably would have won that game going away, but they didn't. So if the Rams can sort of get up on them and do the same thing, we'll see. You know, the Cowboys have their guys, Bryant, Elliott, and Prescott. Bryant had a great game. Last week,
great game, but he's been quiet overall over the first 3 games.
I think he's been quiet for the past 3 years, to be honest with you. Like, I don't think he's really at that level anymore. I think he's more name than anything. I mean, obviously, he's still probably the best player on that offense, but or second best player at least. But the real thing to me is Prescott, who's not even close last year or to his last year performance. He's a game manager. He's not winning any games, and I don't think I see him sort of taking that next step to be that sort of I can win a game on my own type of guy. So Cowboys need a full team effort in this one, and they've gotten it last week, so we'll see if they get it again this week.
All right, what to watch for in this game? Really, to me, it's the Cowboys running attack against the Rams. Teams have run all over the Rams the first few games. Cowboys have one of the best backs in the league in Ezekiel Elliott, and if they're able to do that, I think it'll be a long day for the Rams. But, you know, can Jared Goff carry the Rams in a big-time game? I think that's another question that you have to look at because, you know, you mentioned last season as a rookie, he was pretty awful. He's played well through three games so thus far, but, you know, none of those really had a big-game feel that this one might have.
Yeah, I mean, it's in L.A., so and I think, you know, the Cowboys definitely have some marquee value, so you factor all that in.
This one's actually in Dallas.
Oh, it's in Dallas. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was in L.A. So still, whatever. It doesn't matter. You know, I think I know the line is what Cowboys have the -6. I think the Rams are going to give them a game. I really do. I think it's going to be a pretty wild game. I don't know that the Rams are going to win, but I like them to cover that 6. I think it'll be a pretty competitive ball game.
I do think it'll be a competitive ball game, but I think it's one of those ones that'll be competitive, and then Dallas kind of pulls away late. I'll take the Cowboys -6, especially 68% of the money was on LA, at least at the midpoint in this week, and that always makes me run the other way. So should be a good game, though, and if LA can you know, stop the Cowboys' rushing attack, then it might be a different story. Philadelphia Eagles, who's the opponent? They're going to be in L.A. this week. They'll be at the Chargers in the soccer field.
In front of 12,000 fans, screaming fans.
Which most of them will probably be Eagles fans anyway. Oh, what a mess that is. Chargers are 0-3. They lost to Denver week 1 by 3, Miami the next week by 2, and then they lose to the Chiefs 24-10 last week, although that was a pretty close game, a little bit closer than the score indicates because Kareem Hunt had that big run as the Chiefs were running out the clock. So offensively, Chargers, they're only rushing for 70 yards a game while they're giving up 146 yards on the ground.
Good. That math don't work.
No, it doesn't. And, you know, Phillip Rivers at this point is kind of, I mean, really all three of those quarterbacks from that quarterback class of 2004, it's, you know, time is
in their. Yes. I mean, you're absolutely right. I mean, those guys are, you know, it's been a long time. It's been almost 15 years. So, but Rivers, you know, never quite reached the level of the other two. And I don't think he's ever going to.
No, not at this point. He had a couple years where they were one of the best teams in the league, and you know, they couldn't finish in the playoffs. But
they haven't helped him any in Los Angeles,
wherever the hell they are now. But the Chargers do get Keenan Allen back from his torn ACL last year. 19 catches, 196 yards, and a touchdown on the year. So he's a good guy to have back if you're a Chargers fan.
Yes, you just so rudely ignored me. I said they may still send him.
I'm still having technical difficulties over here.
The
funniest
thing I have to mention, not about this team or anything, is that there are reports that the NFL is so embarrassed by the crowd size of the Chargers that they may actually force them back to San Diego, which wouldn't shock me at this point, as the NFL realizes that no one gives a crap about football in LA. But anyways. Rivers not playing so hot on the flip side of the ball. Got some players on defense. Melvin Ingram, 5.5 sacks through two games. Joey Bosa, 8.5 sacks in his last 9 games. So they can get after the quarterback. And the Eagles' offensive line is not so hot. So that's something to watch. And, you know, they've been playing well. So Chargers are 0-3. Means they're a bad team, but it also means they're very dangerous.
They are dangerous, and they've been close, and I mean, that's not a murderer's row of teams that they've played so far, but even last week against the Chiefs, they allowed 2 touchdowns right off the bat off Phillip River interceptions, and then the defense really shut the Chiefs down the rest of the game. They had just 3 points until that Kareem Hunt long touchdown run as they were running out the clock. So on the flip side, state of the Eagles, they're 2-1 after the 61-yard field goal last week against the Giants. Third road game in 4 weeks for Philadelphia. You know, like I said, coming off that emotional win, they have a lot of injuries. That's something to look for. They really should feel at home in LA with the way that the Chargers games have been attended. They will miss Fletcher Cox, though. He's out likely 2 to 4 weeks.
Cox out. You know, Sproles had that terrible, terrible injury, that double whammy. You know, they're 2-1. They've looked okay. They haven't looked great. They look pretty good. So they're playing the Chargers, then they have Cardinals, at Panthers, Redskins, 49ers. So this is a type of run where they're playing teams that if they can avoid trap games, you know, outside of that Redskins game, which will probably be pretty tough, you know, they could win a slew here until they get into a tough November and December schedule. So it'll be really interesting to see how the Eagles not respond, but sort of get back after it after a crazy win over the Giants last weekend, division game against a weak opponent out on the West Coast. We'll learn a lot about the Eagles this weekend, I think. If they come out and just take care of business, you know, they got a good shot to be in pretty good position going into the second half of the year.
Yeah, so what to watch for in this game? Really going to be kind of the battle of the trenches. Eagles defensive line without Fletcher Cox, how are they able to stop the run against a Chargers team that doesn't run the ball well to begin with? And then on the flip side, you know, San Diego's D-line, they get after the quarterback, Melvin Ingram, Joey Bosa, Brandon Manabe. You know, they play fast. They got Gus Bradley there. He's trying to emulate that defense he once had in Seattle. Really going to be kind of where the game is won and lost. So Los Angeles Chargers on Fox at 4 o'clock. They're minus one, the Chargers are. So odd favorites in this game.
I would have thought the Eagles would be the road favorite. You know, the key to the game to me is if that Eagles offensive line can hold up against a pretty good San Diego defense.
Right.
It's a tough one. I think I'm going to take the Eagles.
The Eagles are a better team. I feel like that's the team that, you know, if you look at the body of work, you should absolutely take. This just feels like a letdown spot for the Eagles, and I don't know why. All teams have it. Just feels like it might be a tough game.
Well, I just think it's the Chargers, who are not a good team, but they've got a defense that can get after it, and it's just a bad matchup for the Eagles, I feel like, at this moment. I think the Eagles are going to win, but it would not shock me if the Chargers pull out that first win against this team on the road.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles, as I said last week, are not exactly world busters. They're okay. So we'll see on that one.
Yeah, it feels like one of those games where maybe they get down early and are just kind of clawing their way back the whole time, and then it comes down to a fourth quarter, you know, what's going to happen there. So
yep.
That's the Cowboys, that's the Eagles. We'll take a break, come back, do the Giants and Skins here on the Tailgates of Hell.
You're listening to the Tailgates of Hell, the NFC East podcast for the common man. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes or Google Play.
Back on the Tailgates of Hell, New York Giants, Tampa Bay Buccaneers in sunny Tampa Bay. Buccaneers 1-1. They had the home win, very impressive in week 2 against the Bears. Then they got kind of debacled last week against the Vikings, 34-17. Bucks have won 5 in a row at Raymond James. Offensively, Jameis Winston completing 65% of his passes for 532 yards this year, 3 touchdowns, 3 picks. Mike Evans, DeSean Jackson have combined for 283 yards receiving through those 2 games, 2 touchdowns. Adam Humphries has 8 receptions. So, you know, Bucks offensively in week 1, they looked great against that Bears defense, and not much last week, and even though 17 points came kind of late in that game.
I mean, Bucks, there's a lot of hype on them this year, and they have not lived up to it so far. They're 1-1. They missed the week 1. We'll see. I mean, they're a team that's probably just getting going after missing that first week, but a lot of injuries. Levante David being out, I think, is big for them.
Yes.
You know, he's sort of he's the engine of that defense. And, you know, they got the Bucs have to prove that they're actually a good team and not just a hype team. So
yeah, and defensively last week they gave up almost 500 yards to Case Keenum, of all people,
yeah,
and the Minnesota Vikings. I mean, that's not good.
Yeah, and I feel like the Bucs have been like this for a decade now, where it's like, oh, they're going to be good this year, and then they stink. So it's really on them to say, hey, we're actually a good team. They had a nice little run last year, and we'll see. Lucky for them, they're playing the worst team in the NFL, the New York Giants.
TJ Ward also questionable with a quad injury for the Bucs. That could be a big injury for them as well. Like I said, they've won 5 straight at home. Giants have won the last 4 against the Buccaneers, so one of those streaks are going to have to give. Giants trying to avoid 0-4 for the first time since 2013. I was actually surprised. I don't even remember them being 0-4 type bad at any point.
Well, that was the year they went 0-4 and then went on that run and almost got themselves back into it at the end of the year. But, I mean, listen, Eli's having a great year. 73% of his passes, I wouldn't maybe say great year, but 73 completion percent is pretty good. Four
if you
touchdowns.
Grade him on the curve of that offensive yeah. line, he's not too
yeah.
bad.
Yeah, I mean, he's literally the only guy keeping that team in it outside of Beckham on some of those catches he made. So can they build off the fourth quarter in Philadelphia? I doubt it. Are they going to do more than 48 yards average running through three games? I doubt it.
48 yards is a whole hell of a lot.
Their defense is giving up 23 points per game. They're clearly not what they were in 2016. Here's what this is it for the Giants. This is the season right here.
Yeah.
If they can win this game, or if they lose this game, Ben McAdoo better start packing his hair gel up.
Because who do they have? I think they got the Chargers or someone like that at home next week.
They have the Chargers, Denver, and Seattle, I think, in the next 3 weeks.
Yeah,
now,
so even if you could like get yourself somehow to 3-4, you're in the discussion.
If they can get to 3-4 or even like 2-5 until they get to their bye, they're not out of it because these teams are so bad. Do I think they're out of it right now, the way they're playing? Absolutely. But I can tell you,
it's a weird league.
I can tell you right now that if there's one team in the NFL that could overcome a start like the Giants just had, it's the Giants. Because they do crazy shit like this all throughout their history, right? Do I think that's going to happen? Not a chance. But if they have to win a game. So if they can win this game and then they can win next week, they get to 2-3, 5 games in. That ain't so bad.
It's called a winning streak. It has happened before.
And one thing that's been pointed out to me this week is that 5 games through last year, they were 2-3. So it's not out of the realm, especially because of how knotted up everything is in the NFC in general. In the NFC East, obviously, the teams are all 2 games out, but there's they all play each other. There's a lot of division games left. So can the Giants get back into it? Yes. Is that likely? God, no. But they got to win one game. So can they continue to build off that fourth quarter? Short passes. This is the other thing, though. That game plan that they ran last week, any competent defensive coordinator will have that thing sniffed out in a heartbeat. So if they're going to run these two-step drop slants, I don't see that as a sustainable offense. But maybe they start to turn around a little bit last week, and we'll see what happens. Maybe they get something going. The Bucs are banged up on defense, so we'll see. And that defense is still – there's a lot of talent on that team, so I think that they can certainly hang with the Bucs offense. But the Giants just got to get on the board here. They can win one game. They can go to 1-3. 0-4, it's over for them. 1-3 going into next week, they got a shot to maybe get back into contention, but – I'm not optimistic, and I'll be sitting out there getting sunburned. My forehead will be peeling. I'll be sweating bullets, drinking $20 beers. Be miserable the whole time.
Oh, the National Football League. How lovely it is. 4 o'clock on Sunday, Fox, Kenny Albert, Rondé Barber on the call. And I thought I read somewhere, don't quote me on it, I thought Tiki is doing some type of
guest appearance
on that or something.
I think I don't know if Tiki's doing the radio and Rondé's doing the thing, but I do think you're definitely right that they definitely said something about the Barbers doing that game. And God, if you've never been to the Bucs Stadium, whenever the Bucs score or get a first down, they fire those cannons off, and it drives me freaking crazy. So hopefully I don't hear too many cannons. So by the way, the Giants are at Bucs, home against the Chargers, at Broncos. Home against the Seahawks. So honestly, if they can get it together, they could in theory be 3-4 by their bye.
Yeah,
they could.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, but it needs to start this week. Next week's a must win, and then you got to try to split one of the next two.
Yep.
Not easy, And you know what? Seattle's not that good. So
no, that's what I mean. Seattle at home, the Broncos game at night in Denver is tough because the Giants always get creamed in Denver, but it's doable. But they've got to win this game, and they've got to show something, other than what they've been showing through this week. So Tampa Bay minus three at home. I'm going to take the Giants because I'm going to be there and I hope they win.
I'm taking the Giants because I just still don't think – I mean, they're like they're bad, but I still think they have people who are not that bad outside of their left tackle. I think the rest can – they got to overcome at some point. So.
Well, like I say every week, they have probably – they got Eli Manning who's a Super Bowl MVP. They've got Odell Beckham, maybe the best wide receiver or one of the top three best receivers in the league. They got Landon – they have players everywhere.
Right.
They just got to put it together. And I swear to God – if they lose, and I hear Ben McAdoo talk about complimentary football, I may kill him myself. Next!
I don't know how you move on from that. So the Washington Redskins, Monday Night Football, second primetime game in a row for the Skins. They're in Kansas City. I mean, through three games, not much of an argument. Kansas City's been the best team in the league, and I don't even think it's been close.
I think they've won their last, 10 games in a row, haven't they?
They've won some out. If you take away the playoff game that they lost to Pittsburgh, they've won some ungodly amount of games in a row in the regular season. And I saw last week during the game, I was watching, they haven't lost in the AFC West. And those are some pretty good teams since the middle of 2015. So,
hey, Andy Reid is a hell of a football coach. And when he left Philadelphia, it was the happiest day as a Giants fan because he owned the Giants. And now he's gone, and the Eagles are sort of iffy, and Reed's built this monster team. You are right; he stinks in January, but he's coming. He's getting the Redskins, a team he knows very well, a franchise he knows very well. And you're right; the Chiefs have just looked like the best team in the NFL. Really, maybe the Patriots, but I mean the Patriots haven't
they killed
won.
The Patriots in the first week, so it's.
Yeah. I think this is a good team, and what's interesting is Alex Smith, who's been written off 100 times in his career, mostly justified, but he has had now his second career renaissance, first time in San Francisco, now again under Andy Reid, and everyone thinks the rookie's going to come in and be the future, and I think Alex Smith is sort of like, not so fast.
You know what, honestly, if Kirk Cousins is not the Redskins quarterback next year, I think, or at least I hope it's Alex Smith, because... I'm assuming he's going to find his way out of Kansas City, whether he wants to or not. But, yeah, I mean, people hate on the guy. He's not incredible, but he obviously can put together a winning team. So, offensively, we just talk about Alex Smith. Kareem Hunt, I mean, where the hell did this guy come from? 47 carries, 401 yards on the season. He's averaging almost 9 yards a carry, 4 touchdowns. I mean, he's been incredible through three games. Tyreek Hill... I mean, pretty much every time he touches the ball, he seems to score. 16 catches on the year, 253 yards. Travis Kelce, he had a great game against the Eagles, but he's been pretty quiet on offense for the Chiefs.
Yeah, Kelce's sort of one of those. Kelce's another guy who I feel like was sort of, we did that the dating Kelce show or whatever that was. He seemed like one of those guys who's became a little bigger hype than a football player, But, I mean, he's been quiet this year, still a threat. I thought the Redskins were going to get trounced by the Raiders.
So did
They played a hell of a game. So I'm not going to write them off this week, but this is a tough game.
This is
to
a
win.
Tough task.
Prime time in Arrowhead against one of the best teams in football.
This is almost one, as a Redskins fan, I've just accustomed to losing. It's kind of a loser's mentality, but it's if you just play a good game, you go to the bye with some confidence, you get San Francisco at home on the other side. It's not all that bad. Defensively,
well, they're bye after this.
Yeah, early bye, which sucks.
Well, they're banged up though, so it actually may come at a good time if they can remain healthy.
Yeah, they get Jordan Reed. They'll get Jordan Reed back, and then he'll be out 2 quarters later.
They get him back for 30 minutes.
Yeah, if that. Defensively for the Chiefs, they've been pretty good, giving up 19 points a game, good for 6th in the league. Marcus Peters is a great defensive back. He'll likely eliminate whoever the best receiver on the Skins is. I don't even know who that is at this point. But the Chiefs are without Eric Berry. So whether it's Vernon Davis or Jordan Reed, that's got to be a matchup that the Skins win if they want to win. And they got to protect Cousins. D4, yeah. Justin Houston, great on the pass rush. Skins have allowed some sacks, so that's a big advantage for Kansas City.
And you mentioned Eric Berry, who has the Achilles injury, and it's you figure that would be a big move because he was maybe the best safety in the game, and they just kept plugging along. That's a sign of a good team and a team that could go the distance is when you lose your biggest superstar and it's like nothing ever happened. So they're looking good. I mean, the flip side for the Redskins, it comes down to, can they match the defensive performance that they threw at the Raiders?
I mean, that was insane.
Yeah, and can Kirk Cousins, you know, can they keep up the intensity of that win over Oakland?
If they do what they did last week, I feel like they could beat anybody. I mean, like, literally that defensive performance was the best I've seen really in my lifetime watching the Skins. I mean, I'm sure they've had some in 91 when I was six and couldn't even remember, but, I mean, it was incredible. And offensively, Cousins was damn near perfect. Chris Thompson has just been a superstar for this team. He's kind of that guy who, whether you're OBJ for the Giants or Tyreek Hill for the Chiefs, like when he touches the ball, good things seem to happen. My only negative still with the Redskins right now is their wide receivers have really sucked. Crowder's kind of come on, but, you know, Terrell Pryor was supposed to be the guy, and he has not been thus far. Jordan Reed is, who knows if he's going to play or not. And even when he's played this year, he hasn't been a factor because he's been hurt. You know, on the flip side defensively, can they stop the run? That's what this game's going to come down to. If Kareem Hunt goes off for 150 yards, Skins can't win this football game. But they've held all the other teams to 62 yards a game so far, so it's going to be close. Skins are getting 7 points in this game. Monday Night Football, John Gruden, Sean McDonough. Who you got? Skins, Eagles, Skins plus +7.
Chiefs. I don't know. I mean, I think the Redskins will give them a game, but this is less about the Redskins and more about the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs are just going to roll, and I just think a primetime game for the Skins and Arrowhead is a very tall task.
I don't disagree. I'm going to take the Skins because they're getting 7, and how can I pick against my team when they're getting 7? But, yeah, this is a tall, tall task, and I said before the game last week, they could get 2-2 to the bye, I'm happy. So unless they go out there and get just embarrassed, I'm sure it'll be an upsetting Monday, but I'll still be happy with that. Or who knows, maybe they win and the hype machine in Washington is going to be like nothing you've heard. So last but not least, go around the league, we'll pick a game.
All right, so my game, I was perusing the points here on the Vegas Insider. And the one game that I just think is absolutely outrageous is Indianapolis at Seattle. Seattle getting 13.5 points. I don't care how bad the Colts are. The Seahawks aren't that good, and almost 13.5 is a huge spread in the NFL. So I'm taking the Colts to cover that.
Love it.
I just don't see – I mean, that's – if the Seahawks were, you know, the Seahawks of 3 years ago, maybe, but – I don't see it in this game.
Yeah, love that, love that. You cannot give a team that many points in this league. And like you said, Seattle's one of those teams where the name right now is much bigger than the actual performance. Yeah. So I'm going to take the Falcons. They're minus 7.5. That's a big number. Bills' defense has been great so far this year, but their offense has sucked. And even if the Bills' D is great, Atlanta's offense is good enough that they'll put up some points. So I'll take Atlanta, but I'm pretty sure I'm 0-3 in my pick so far. So,
well, you know, it happens to the best of them. 0-3. Right.
Ben David, Jason Jaconia, that's the Tailgates of Hell for this week. We'll be back to recap week 4 in the National Football League. Enjoy the games this week.